Hello and welcome in to a special episode of the CG Business Advisor brought to you by CG Tax Audit and Advisory. If you guys are watching us on YouTube or on the CG team website, hello, how you guys doing? We have two special guests coming up to talk about a really, really interesting topic that I think you are not going to want to miss. But let me just tell you guys how to follow the podcast. We are available on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Right here, the CG Business Advisor, and make sure that you go to cgteam.com. That is our website, and you can find out more information about how to get in touch with us, and you can follow the podcast and find out all of our old episodes as well. So in case you missed the topic that we discussed prior, we've been around for some time now, you can go back and you can watch some of those older episodes or listen to some of those older episodes. Well, this episode is going to have to deal with the R&D tax credits, but how they have changed under the One Beautiful Bill Act. So a lot of you may know, back this summer, President Trump, the government, they passed this One Beautiful Bill Act. And it has created so many different opportunities and changes across the financial landscape when it comes to tax credits and other things that apply for your business, whether small or large. So specifically today, we're going to talk about R&D tax credits. And we are thrilled to be joined by two incredible guests. Jennifer Flynn, who was a previous guest on our podcast. You go back and listen to that episode. She's the Vice President of CPA Partnerships at Source Advisors, a consulting firm that provides customized tax solutions to real estate owners, multi-state enterprises, inventory-focused companies, and businesses, specifically with R&D activities and other businesses as well. But for today's purpose, we're going to talk about the R&D. For 20 years, Jennifer has consulted businesses in a variety of industries and sizes. Source Advisors and Jennifer aid clients through their diverse business solutions and industry-leading expertise. So we're thrilled to welcome Jennifer back here to the CG Business Advisor, and also joining us today from CG Tax Audit and Advisory is our very own John Blake. He is the director of CG Tax Audit and Advisory's Tax Services Group with over 20 years of public accounting experience. John works closely with mid to large sized clients on a wide range of tax matters, and he helps them achieve financial goals, plan strategically. And John's expertise spans closely held businesses, LLCs, partnerships, individuals. So he is up to talk about all of that. John, Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us here on the CG Business Advisor, a very special episode. And before we jump into the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and how it has affected the R&D tax credits, I want you guys to introduce yourself. Jennifer, you were on a previous episode, and John, you are new here to the podcast. So just give a little background on yourself. John, I want to start with you. Let people know what you do at CG and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So, my background is I've been in public accounting for over 20 years. I historically worked closely with medium to large businesses, on a wide range of tax matters, helping the business and individuals with tax planning and formation and all that fun stuff. So I am a director of tax at CG, part of the core services group.
And Jennifer, you are back on this podcast. Welcome back. Why don't you reintroduce yourself to our audience?
Thanks, Scott. I'm so excited to be back. Thank you so much to you and the CG team for inviting me. We definitely had a fun discussion when I joined you guys a few episodes on the 73rd episode. We got to talk about LIFO, which for those of you who don't know, is an accounting method that calculates inflation in inventory and removes it from taxable income. So if you're interested, go back, check out CG's 73rd episode and learn a little bit about LIFO. I have a more detailed background about myself on that episode, but to save some time, because we have a lot to cover today, I'll just give like a short overview on me and where I'm from. I'm a material science engineer by trade, so I actually graduated from Rutgers for all of our Jersey listeners. Assuming we have quite a few, with CG being based in Jersey. The foundation of my engineering degree and related experience really significantly contributed to my knowledge and expertise in our engineering-based tax solutions, so particularly in the area that we're discussing today, which is the research and development tax credit. So we partner closely with CG and really help them. They're always looking for new ideas and ways to bring value to their clients. So we help them not only bring new ideas, but also enhance some of their existing capabilities and really help mitigate risk, not just for their clients, but also for prospects.
Well, I'm so happy to have both of you guys on board for this episode, and we're going to do a lot here on the podcast on the impact of the One Big Beautiful Bill and everything that's going on as far as a lot of different subcategories involving it. And we'll start here with the research and development tax credit. And Jennifer, I want to start with you. Can you just explain some of the history behind the R&D credit?
Sure. So the R&D credit has actually been around since 1981, which was shortly after we started seeing companies outsourcing or sending manufacturing overseas. So with the intention of keeping research and development here in the States, keeping our technical jobs here and our innovation here, Congress came up with the research and development tax credit. And that credit is about 7 to 10% of qualified research expenses, which are inclusive of employee wages, subcontractors, materials, and or cloud computing expenses. And then that 7 to 10% is a federal credit. There is also many states that have state credits as well. And John will get a little bit more into that as we get further down the road. But each state, most states have an R&D tax credit. So, you know, you could even have upwards up to a 20% reimbursement on your expenses. So actually, you know, as I mentioned, it was created to keep R&D here in the States. I actually had a client, a designer, tell me at one point that just a few years ago, she saved as much with the R&D credit as she would have outsourcing her R&D overseas. So looks like mission accomplished for Congress.
Yeah.
So the credit was initially set to expire in 1985. It was actually renewed 17 times. And out of that, six of them were retroactive. So, and just being in this space for so long, I remember like every year or every other year anxiously waiting, like, are we going to get the R&D credit back? And it was really difficult for businesses to plan. So we were absolutely thrilled when the PATH Act made the R&D credit permanent back in 2015. So the PATH Act had a couple other great benefits as well. So it allowed for startup companies with under $5 million in gross receipts to utilize the R&D credit against payroll tax. That was the first time the R&D credit was ever refundable on the federal side. So amazing win there for small businesses. And then also it allowed taxpayers to offset the alternative minimum tax with the R&D credit, which was also new and never allowed before. So lots of wins out of the PATH Act. That was a good one. Then came the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, also known as the TCJA. And that was passed in 2017. One of the benefits of that bill for the R&D credit is the corporate tax rate was lowered. And the way the mechanics of the R&D calculation work, it uses the corporate tax rate. So because that tax rate was reduced, it increased the size of the R&D credit. That was a big win. But one of the ways that Congress paid for this amazing, all these amazing benefits that came out of that TCJA Act was to have taxpayers amortize their R&D expenses starting in tax years after 1/1/22. So that was such a challenge for so many companies. It really demotivated them to want to spend on R&D. A lot of companies either proactively didn't engage on R&D projects that they were intending on, reduced the R&D that they were already doing, and quite a few companies completely stopped taking the R&D credit. So, you know, it really was an innovation killer and demotivator.
Mm. So 2015, the PATH Act comes around, 2017, the TCJA. John, what has changed since then?
It's more like what hasn't changed, right? So over the years, as you guys just kind of heard, there's been several tweaks and changes in what expenses qualify, the percentage of the credit, on and on. Come forward to, I guess, July 4th, 2025, one big, beautiful bill. They made some changes in the bill to the R&D expenses. So I just want to kind of highlight here, right, the changes that happened in the TCJA as far as the amortization is strictly the expenses. The credit never changed in TCJA. It was just that you had to amortize the expenses related to research and development. So when one big beautiful bill passed, basically what they did is they kind of undid that amortization for domestic research. So after December 31st, 2024, companies are now, you know, effective now in July 2025, allowed to expense their research and development costs again. So hitting the P&L. So that's basically one of the biggest changes so far from the One Big Beautiful Bill.
So you said foreign expenses still require that amortization?
So foreign expenses still require the 15-year amortization. The One Big Beautiful Bill, you know, obviously, again, allows current year expensing, but it also allows what they call small companies to go back and amend returns. So back to 23 and 24 and 22 to go back and amend returns to take the expense that they amortized and take it as an expense in that year if they're considered, quote unquote, a small company, which is anybody who has average gross receipts under $31 million. Or they have the option to take the unamortized piece of that R&D over the next 1 or 2 years. So obviously there's going to be quite a bit of tax planning in how, you know, these companies want to treat the R&D that they have if they are amortizing it. But if you're a quote unquote larger company over 31 million, the only option you have is to take what has not been expensed yet, what is sitting there to be amortized over the next 1 or 2 years. So again,
is there
still some tax planning there.
Yeah, is there a better option, like, in your mind? Like, let's say I'm a business that's dealing in $32 million in receipts. Do I want to get under that threshold? Do I want to be considered a small business? Like, what's the better option here?
Do you want to be $31.5 million or $30
million? Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I am not a proponent to going back and amending returns. I just don't like going back and opening prior years. You know, obviously it kind of depends on where the company is at and what they're looking like for 25, 26, if they're not going to have, you know, income offset, or maybe they had really good years back in prior years, then yeah, it makes sense to go back and amend. But generally I prefer to just take the 1 or 2 years moving forward.
Well, John, let's specifically focus on the state of New Jersey. The New Jersey state R&D tax credit, what's the history behind that?
Yeah, so New Jersey enacted their R&D credit in 1992. So basically, they kind of followed the same premise as the federal government. They were trying to get more, you know, research done in the state of New Jersey. The credit is, New Jersey's credit is modeled to kind of follow, basically follow the federal credit rules. New Jersey hasn't really made any changes to the credit. And then in 2022, New Jersey decoupled from federal regulations. So, you know, when federal kind of changed their structure a little bit around the R&D, New Jersey did not. New Jersey stuck with what they had in place. And New Jersey is definitely kind of more geared towards the emerging technology or biotechnology companies, because those companies can sell unused credits, you know, subject to limitations to other companies, essentially. So,
Yeah, I mean, you drive around the state, you'll find a lot of headquarters for a lot of, you know, pharmaceuticals or biotech companies that you're going to find there in the state of New Jersey. Jen, what specific industries are the R&D tax credits applicable for?
Well, I tend to think of the R&D credit not necessarily as industry-based, but more activities-based, because there's so many more industries that qualify than you would expect, especially with the development of software and how most industries are using them to modernize and to increase their capabilities. We even have publishers and marketers who have started taking the credit because of online platforms they've developed, or like with our publisher developing an interactive technological whiteboard tool. So lots that's happening in various industries that have never taken advantage of the credit before. You know, you heard John mention like life sciences, also pharmaceuticals, like drug trials, experimenting with new compounds, creating new testing techniques. But testing techniques doesn't apply just to pharmaceuticals or life sciences. I mean, that could be construction, manufacturing, labs, just testing labs that are creating their own technologies. Also, architectural firms can qualify for R&D. A lot of them are doing sustainable design, figuring out how they need to tweak design to meet updated building codes. They're utilizing new modeling techniques, new development techniques. So lots of engineering feats happening in the A&E as well as the construction space. Financial services, we have a substantial financial service packet, group of clients, because they are all software development now. I mean, it's not the old school days where, you know, everybody's trading on telephones. It's like all happening via technology. And, you know, if you're a trader, you're a coder, you're developing algorithms. So, you know, just some really interesting, complicated software development happening in the financial industry.
And John, can you talk about some of the other industries that this applies to?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Jen hit the nail on the head when it's activities-based, right? So you automatically think about manufacturers, anybody who's developing, improving new products, optimizing processes, reducing waste, improving efficiencies. And Jen mentioned construction. So the design, engineering, testing, all those things kind of help qualify for the credit. And then one thing I think probably a lot of people don't necessarily think of, it's software development. So building tools, platforms, or even customizing, you know, off the shelf solutions, just taking a product and building onto it and making it your own software, essentially, to help your business improve efficiencies or anything really could potentially qualify. So, you know, these are all things that definitely help get the credit. So.
Yeah, my head immediately went towards like AI and computer models and anything, you know, software development and things like that to try to, you know, optimize that. We talk about how that is a major part now of businesses as we advance with technology. So I feel like everybody's trying to come up with new ways and build their own platforms to kind of, you know, revolutionize their whatever industry they're in. So let's talk specifically, guys, about some examples of how this credit is used successfully. And as I just mentioned, software, AI, John, is there what other examples of how it is used successfully as far as software is concerned?
Yeah, so I could give you a specific example I had on a client. So I had a client, which oddly enough, they were essentially digital imaging company. So think of more like a service-based company where they would take digital images and enhance them, and then, you know, they're paid for their work on that image. So when I was speaking with the owner when he first came on as a client and finding out about his business and what he was doing and how he was doing it, in the conversations, he had actually mentioned to me that he and some people internally, I think it was two other guys worked with him, kind of went back and they developed a software internally that they were going to use to kind of help the company track revenues originally is how it started. And then it kind of, they kept, you know, engineering it and working on it. And eventually they used the software to help the company expand their service offerings. And they used it to basically enhance the order processing that their clients were doing. So their clients could place orders easier. And I think they actually ended up using it to go to their website somehow. So he was talking about it the whole time. I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is pretty interesting. I was like, this is custom, basically built. They did it themselves. Nobody, you know, it's not off-the-shelf software. So, you know, told him to look into doing a R&D study. He ended up doing it. We ended up amending 3 years worth of returns for him. And I don't remember the exact amount, but I think the total credit over 3 years was over $90,000. So wow. He was very happy. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, they had a lot of salary, you know, employee time going into that build out, but obviously it, you know, it was something that improved their processes and it was definitely worthwhile.
Absolutely. Jen, what about some other examples of how the credit is used successfully?
Yeah. So while we're talking about, like, you know, higher end technology and people improving their presence in the market and what they're able to accomplish in their industry, we also just have companies who are trying to keep their profit margins and stay in business. And maybe what they're doing isn't so technologically advanced, but they're a manufacturer who's trying to reduce energy consumption and reduce the amount of waste that they're generating through the process, and just general activities that manufacturers are doing that wouldn't even think that they're qualifying for R&D. They're just thinking, hey, I need to figure out how to make more and utilize less so that I can keep or increase profit margins. So to them, it's just a function of staying in business. We had a client who fit that exact profile. They manufacture packaging materials, nothing like groundbreaking, out of the ordinary, just, you know, some of those examples I mentioned, improving energy efficiency, reducing waste, improving process. And this company stopped taking the credit in 21, wound up going back and claiming credits from 22 all the way through 24 on the federal side, was able to benefit and receive $285,000 of R&D credits from those 3 years. We're talking about a small company, small, like John mentioned, under 31 million. So this is a small company who is able to go back and amend. And then they also were able to benefit from a $22,000 Pennsylvania state tax credit. So John went over New Jersey. CG is based in New Jersey. You know, so we have a big New Jersey presence here. But like I mentioned, a lot of other states have credits also. So they got a Pennsylvania credit of $22,000. And in 2025, they're looking at as much as a $300,000 federal credit and a $32,000 PA state credit. So amazing opportunity for, you know, what's considered to be a small company.
That is, and then we actually had,
yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a big impact. And you're looking, the business owner is just floored because they're just, you know, doing what it takes to be able to keep the wheels on the wagon. So love that story, because just, you know, everybody can relate who's in manufacturing. Then we also have a client who is a steel fabricator and erector, and they took the credit back in 2012, like starting in 2012. We worked with them through 2020. Then they stopped because they had a business structure change. They had change in ownership. So there was just a bunch of moving parts. When the big, beautiful bill passed, we reached out to them, gave them an update, and they were like, you know what? We haven't looked at the credit in a bunch of years. Let's go back and see what kind of opportunity is there. So for 23 and 4, 22, you know, they were still didn't make sense in 22. In 23 and 4, they were able to benefit from $130,000 of R&D tax credits from those 2 years. And 2025 looks to be about another $80,000. And, you know, you hear steel fabricator and erector, it doesn't sound like breaking edge technology. And it's not, but they're doing R&D. So just a great story where, you know, small, medium sized businesses have opportunity out there. And most don't even realize it. This is why you need a great CPA partner.
Yeah, John, I was going to say, this seems like something that a lot of these, you know, companies and businesses just might overlook, because maybe, you know, they hear in the news, they find out about the Big Beautiful Bill Act, and then they're like, okay, whatever, like, we're business as normal. We're just, we're business as usual. We're going to go about our process. But it seems like this is a good opportunity for any of these businesses to pick up the phone, call somebody like you guys over at CG, like you, Jennifer, and say, hey, I heard about this thing. Does it apply to me? And you know what? Even if it doesn't apply to you, that's fine. Educate yourself a little bit. But it could apply to you and you could save a boatload here.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And like Jen was just saying, they don't know that they don't know. They just do their business and they don't know they're actually doing something that could save them a ton of money. And, you know, that's part of the reason we take a consultative approach is we want to learn about the business. If we don't learn about the business, we're not going to know that, hey, this guy's working on custom software with two of his employees. We're just going to take, you know, the books that they give us and slap it on in return and move on with our lives. Like, that doesn't do anybody any good. So, it literally comes down to people just not knowing what's out there or what they're doing.
That's unbelievable.
That's one of the reasons why we love to partner with CG, because they have that mindset and they're out there in the marketplace. And even when they meet people, I mean, we've worked on quite a few things with CG where they meet people who haven't heard of these opportunities. So they're just always out there looking and trying to bring value and enhance opportunities and reduce tax liability for their clients.
It makes so much sense. It really does. John, I want to give you an opportunity, and Jen, you both, to give out your information, where people can get in touch with you, and if they have any questions, if they apply, not just for the R&D credit, but anything else moving forward, because there's so many different aspects of this big, beautiful bill act that we're going to get to throughout the portion of our podcast episodes to educate the audience. But if somebody wants to get in touch with you guys, John, I'll start with you. Where could the audience go? Where could people find out more information?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So they could start by going to our firm's website, which is cgteam.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, just John Blake. My email is jblake@cgteam. Or if somebody still wants to pick up that old-fashioned phone, it's 732-279-7711 is a direct phone number.
You mean it's not just a text now? No? You can still do phone calls? You can still do calls.
If you want to text, you can text.
Jennifer, how about you? How can people get in touch with you and find out more about what you offer at Source Advisors?
Well, I love how John first referenced CG Team's website. So I'm going to go that same route and I'll say check out sourceadvisors.com. Learn about all that we do. And you can reach me personally. You can see my bio on our website. You can reach me personally on LinkedIn, Jennifer Flynn. My email address is jennifer.flynn@sourceadvisors.com.
Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate the insight and the information. There's a lot of history behind the R&D tax credit and the changes that are occurring now with this big, beautiful bill act that applies to some of the things that maybe retroactively were taken away and are now back, and some changes you can make. Some really great information. And if you are a business out there, you don't want to be leaving money on the table or giving away money that you really shouldn't be giving away. So make sure you contact Jennifer and John as well to find out how you might be able to save here under the new R&D tax credit as amended under the Big Beautiful Bill Act. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate the time and look forward to doing this again soon.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Appreciate it.
What a great episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this special edition of the CG Business Advisor Podcast, brought to you by CG Tax Audit and Advisory. Make sure you follow the podcast wherever you get your pods from. You can also head to cgteam.com for more information, not just about the podcast, but also, of course, about CG Tax Audit and Advisory. And stay tuned, because coming up throughout the weeks, we are going to get into some more topics that are affected by the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. So you don't want to miss that. Thank you so much once again, and we will talk to you next time right here on the CG Business Advisor.